Well, it's good to be here tonight. Look forward to sharing a message with you and then having our prayer time. To open your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's always interesting to read through some of the passages that the Apostle Paul wrote that have to do with his ministry, with the mindset that he had about the ministry. And I believe some of those points are very valuable to us as Christians, whether we're in full-time, we mentioned this many times, whether we're in full-time service or if we are the Lord has us in a profession and we still have a duty and a responsibility and a ministry that He calls us to, we got to have the right kind of heart in it. And Paul frequently discusses those things. And I wanted to go to chapter 4 tonight of 2 Corinthians, this good book. And we won't by any means cover every detail of this chapter. You know, it takes me long enough to go through two verses. But I want to point out a couple main things about a theme that I'd like to emphasize here about the value of the ministry. The value of the ministry. I believe in our day today that young people frequently are not encouraged to go to the ministry. They're not encouraged to necessarily attend Bible college. They're not encouraged in many places to study the Word of God. And they don't come away with the feeling or the understanding that the ministry is valuable. It's something that God calls you to do, and it's something that you should follow with your whole heart. I want to read this entire chapter, and I want you to pay attention as we read it. Then we're going to point out a few things from this chapter tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, begin in verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. From the very beginning of this chapter, and I hope you noticed it throughout the reading there, that Paul is discussing the ministry that he has, the ministry of preaching, the ministry of bringing the gospel and its value, not just in his own life, but to those he's ministering to. And just from the outset of the chapter, as he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. If you just start right in with that chapter and don't read anything before and just kind of pick it right out of the book, you may not understand what he's talking about. He says, therefore, in light of what I just finished talking about in chapter 3, we have this particular ministry. And I wanted to quickly just get three brief points from chapter 3 that indicate what this ministry is. What is the ministry that we have as Christians that relates to the ministry that Paul had as well? Well, if you look back at chapter 3, we're not going to look at a lot of things here, but just a few things. Verse number 8. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? He's comparing the days of the law, the days of Moses, with now the ministry of the Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the ministry, first of all, in verse 8, involves the Holy Spirit in our hearts. You know, this is a different ministry than the days of the law. The days of Moses, which focused on, we don't have time to read those, but he talks about the letter of the law and the death that came with breaking the law. But now in verse number 6, he transitions into the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that we have. And then in verse 8, the ministration of the Spirit being glorious. the Spirit gives life. The law, the letter of the law, the days of Moses and those things, it was the consequence, the death, and we're guilty. We deserve this death, but yes, we've broken, we've transgressed the law, the letter of the law. But because of the Spirit of God and that ministry that involves the Spirit of God, we are now able to have life despite our sin, despite our transgression. We can turn to the Lord and have this ministry of the Spirit. So first of all, the ministry he's talking about involves the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts. Secondly, in verse number 9 of chapter 3, if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. Now, not only does the ministry involve the Holy Spirit, the ministry involves righteousness. And we remember our series that our pastor did several years ago from the book of Romans, and how that righteousness and justification are integral parts of that book. That when we come to the Holy Spirit working in our hearts and we come to Christ, we're redeemed, we're justified, we're receiving the righteousness of Christ, and so we're declared to be something that we aren't. We obviously are not righteous people. But in Christ, in verse number 9, the ministration of righteousness, we're declared to be righteous through the ministry of the gospel that Paul is talking about. So it involves the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. Secondly, it involves righteousness and justification. And then thirdly, in verse number 18, I just picked out 3 points of many we could have chosen from chapter 3. But in verse 18, the ministry involves confronting the truth about what we are so that we can be conformed to Christ. In verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, or as if looking in a mirror, in verse 18, we're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit, again, integral to this ministry that Paul is talking about. So in chapter 4, verse 1, seeing we have this ministry, he's talking about the Holy Spirit that works in people's hearts. He's talking about the righteousness and justification that comes. And he also is talking about, in verse 18, that being the image of Christ that we're being conformed to. All of those points encapsulate the ministry that Paul has among the people. And when he comes to the people and he preaches and he has his ministries of writing these letters and the missionary work that he did, he's trying to get across the emphasis of the righteousness of Christ, the Holy Spirit working in people's heart. In other words, it is basically the gospel is what Paul is talking about. This ministry of presenting the gospel to people, in verse 1, as we have received mercy, we faint not. This is the ministry that Paul's speaking of. It's a privileged ministry of bringing people to the truth, presenting the truth to people so the Holy Spirit can work in their hearts. The ministry that brings people to realize their need of justification, to realize their need of being conformed and changed into the image of Christ. So with this ministry in mind, and all the things, keep in mind all the things that Paul went through. You can read the book of Acts, you can read through the epistles, and you see all the difficulties that Paul encountered at many different times. Yet he says in verse 1, and he also repeats it again in verse 16 of chapter 4, that we faint not. This is the idea of not losing heart. The idea of not being discouraged, and because you're discouraged or getting upset about things that are not going your way or difficulties that come across your path, we're not fainting. We're not going to be discouraged and therefore have the mindset of quitting or leaving the task and maybe even leaving the task and running toward worldliness. Some scholars and Greek scholars translate this word faint not as indicating not acting wickedly. We're not going to act wickedly, because they carry that into verse 2, that we renounce the things of dishonesty. Whichever way you want to look at it, it's the idea of we're not going to quit this ministry, quit the task of bringing the truth to people so that they can come to justification through the Holy Spirit. I thought again about our study in Jeremiah, how Jeremiah got confronted with so many different difficulties in his life, and he said, I don't even want to preach anymore. I can't give that message. And he said it was in his bones as a fire. He couldn't stand it. He had to speak the truth. Kind of the idea here that Paul is talking about. We are not going to faint. We're not going to quit and be discouraged in the face of adversity in light of our ministry. So what is to sustain the believer in the ministry? I mean, we'd be foolish to think that difficulties never come. We'd be foolish to think that everything's just a bed of roses and you can just walk through. There's never going to be any confrontation. There's never going to be any conflict. Things are going to be easy. Everybody's going to love your ministry when you speak the truth. Now, people are going to listen and just come running to you. I think of the stories of the missionaries that we read of and some that have been in ministry for years and only a handful of converts. You know, how many times, no doubt, that those missionaries preached the Word of God and people walked away, or preached to a hardened group of people, maybe steeped in a religion, and how discouraging that could tend to be. But yet Paul is saying, we are not going to faint. We're not going to quit and be discouraged in the ministry. What is it about the ministry then that makes it, if you want to use the word, excuse me, valuable? What makes the ministry worth it, Paul? What is it that's going to allow me to not faint in light of the difficulties that many times confront us? Yes, it's true that people aren't going to hear. People are going to reject. People are going to go their own way. People are going to go into worldliness, whatever. That people make their decisions many times to leave the Word of God, and it can be discouraging. But Paul says we're not going to faint. I wanted to bring out maybe 7 quick points tonight that show us that in the face of these difficulties that you're going to encounter, in the face of hardships and troubles that always come with serving the Lord, there are at least 7 things here. We could no doubt point out many more, but we're going to do a quick survey of the chapter. 7 things that show us that this is a worthwhile endeavor on earth that the Lord's called us to do, to present the truth, to present the gospel. Let's look first of all at number 1 in verse 1. Why is the ministry valuable? Why is it worth it? Because number 1, the ministry is sustained through mercy. Did you read that in verse 1? As we have received mercy, we faint not. Why is it possible from the very outset to even go through the difficulties and to serve the Lord in the ministry and not faint and to not be discouraged? How is that possible? It's because God's mercy is underlying everything we do. He's merciful to us. You know, it's something that was given by the mercy of God. It's not something that we go out and obtain or force the ministry in our own ways and our own selves, but the ministry of giving the Word, of speaking about the Holy Spirit and allowing Him to work in people's hearts, it's an act of mercy on God's part to a lost and dying world. When we personally heard the gospel, you can think back in your own life, maybe you were a small child, maybe you were a teenager, or maybe you were older, and when you heard the gospel, you heard the truth, and the Lord spoke to your heart, and the Holy Spirit convicted you, and you came to Christ, that is an act of God's mercy. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to give us the gospel and lead us to Christ. He didn't have to put influential people in our lives to lead us to Himself. I've told you the story before of how I came to Christ when I was in kindergarten. I don't know, some people debate about whether you can get saved at a young age or not. I don't know. I believe I was. I remember the day. I remember the things that the Bible teacher was talking about as a 5-year-old boy, and I was scared to death and knew I was wrong and a sinner and disobedient and mean. And that means I didn't get all that straightened out right off from the beginning, but the Lord worked in my heart, and I remember accepting Christ that day. That teacher was so influential in my life to give that Bible lesson and to lead me to Christ. That's God's mercy. So we faint not because we've received mercy. The Lord, in His mercy, has brought ministry, has brought people. You can be a part of that. Anytime you give someone the gospel, that's an act of God's mercy in the life of that sinner. That you're giving that to them, they can hear and they can come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His mercy sustains, number 1. Number 2, another reason why the ministry is valuable is in verse number 2. It's because the ministry is for the truth. You know, the truth is something that I believe really is downtrodden today in our society or in America, whatever, around the world. People don't want to go back to truth. They don't want to go back to things that are standard and written and things that are outlined and things that are objective. We disdain those type of things in our society. We like to think of the relative free spirit mentality where whatever we want to be true is true. And that's why we don't like the Constitution. People speak against the Constitutions. People speak against the laws that are written. They don't like written objective things. They don't like truth. And the Lord has given us His truth. He's preserved it for us. And the ministry is valuable and important and necessary because of the truth of God's Word. Notice in verse number 2, what is it that we are as God's people to present to a lost and dying world? Well, verse number 2, yes, there's some that have renounced, gone into dishonesty, they've gone into craftiness, they've handled the Word of God deceitfully. You know, get over that. It's the sick reality of our world. That people abuse God's Word. It's hard sometimes to think, man, why are people like that? I just wish I could wring their neck sometime or slap them with upside the head a little bit here and talk some sense into them. Well, it's deceit. It's the devil's power over their lives, no doubt. But that's going to happen in our world. What is our responsibility? Paul said, I gave the manifestation of the truth. The ministry is to be about the truth. It's so easy to focus our time and energy and ministry on things other than the truth. There's one thing that I've learned a lot of things from Pastor here, being under him for 10 years. But one thing I've always learned is anytime I was preaching in a difficult situation, maybe it was a funeral or something, or maybe I remember early on when I started teaching, he would tell me, when you teach Bible class, focus on Christ. Focus on the truth. When you're preaching a funeral, focus on Christ. Focus on the truth. It's easy to say, well, I'm going to use my opportunity to speak my mind about some things and get off kilter a little bit and kind of steer away from the truth a little bit. But as such a vital part of the ministry, it is the manifestation of the truth that our world needs to hear. The ministry is to be centered on the reality of God's Word, of giving the truth to people. Yes, we've renounced, hopefully in our lives, the things of darkness and worldliness, and our focus is to be on the truth, not on the things that we have renounced. So we need to preach the truth, give the truth. When you, and your daily life, whatever profession you're in, your job, when you interact with people, when you have to confront people, or when people ask you questions, give them the truth. Take them to the Bible. Take them to the things that are objective, that are not emotional and subjective and conjugated in our own mind. So preach the truth, and God will do the rest. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit that Paul talked about in chapter 3, that's the key to the ministry as well. You preach the truth, manifest the truth, and God's Spirit will take that to people's hearts. He knows what people need, not us. Number 3, another one in verse number 5. The message, this kind of goes along with number 2, but the message of the ministry, another reason why we need to focus on the ministry, another reason why it's valuable, another reason why we don't faint, is because we have a wonderful and incredible message to deliver. And it's also the truth. But it's centered upon a specific aspect of the truth. Verse number 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. I think that many times it's easy for us to lose discernment, if that's the word we can use. You know, when we stop reading our Bibles and we stop having a walk with the Lord and praying and asking Him for wisdom and guidance and direction and discernment, then it's easy for us to get sidetracked with those that preach themselves or to get sidetracked with what Paul calls another gospel. But if we keep our minds in tune with the Word, we as ourselves, as our minister, we can preach Christ Jesus the Lord, and to do it, in verse 5, as a servant. To preach Christ as a humble servant. Focus on Christ, and the truth will be exalted. You know, don't be pulled emotionally to include your opinion, to include other things. Preach Christ. Let Him be central. I love the motto of this ministry, that Christ is preeminent. And I hope that in our lives we're doing that. I hope that in our ministry every day, whatever the Lord's called us to do, that we keep Christ central. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. Another point in verses 8 through 10. Another reason why we don't faint in the ministry. Another reason why the ministry is valuable and we can continue on in verse number 8. Because God here in His, not just His mercy, His truth, His message, but God has the victory. I want to look at that in verses 8 through 10. Notice the trouble that Paul talks about. We're troubled on every side. We're perplexed. We're persecuted. We're cast down. But what are we not? We're not defeated. In a nutshell, one word you can say, what are we not? We're not distressed. We're not in despair. We're not cast down. We're not forsaken. We're not destroyed. We can be, to a certain point, troubled. And the devil and his world is out to stop the Lord. And we can face encounters and we can face troubling, but we aren't defeated. Why is the ministry valuable? Why do we not faint in the ministry? Because we serve a victorious Lord. A God of victory, a Savior who has the victory. Boy, I read these verses and it was like a dagger to my heart, because many times I get troubled on every side and I kind of get distressed. Things come up that are perplexing, and it's easy for me to go into despair. When things come up on you in the last minute and you're like, wow, that was unexpected. I don't know what to do. Going in a little bit of a panic here. It's easy to get in despair. It's easy to be persecuted and feel like you're forsaken. Notice the word there, feel. You feel like you're forsaken. It's easy to be cast down. but you're not destroyed. You're always bearing, verse 10, about in the body the dying of the Lord, that the life of Christ might be made manifest here in our body, in our flesh, on this earth. You know, we live a crucified life. We're to live a crucified life, just as Christ was crucified. And in that type of life, it's hard for us to imagine, but in that life of crucifixion, we're going to find victory. We're going to find peace. We are not completely ever, we're not defeated because, yes, troubles are coming, distresses are coming, perplexities, persecutions, casting down, but we have a victorious Lord that we're serving in the ministry. We have the victory. So this persecution and all these things that are so easily overwhelm us that, you know, when our minds get off focus a little bit, we start looking at the perplexities, we start looking at the difficulties, we start looking at the troubles, and we think, oh, this is going to be hard. I don't know that we can get through this. We're not defeated. We have a victorious Savior that is on our side, and we can't be overwhelmed because He's with us. So yes, the ministry is worth it. It's valuable. It's important. It's necessary because of these points. Number 5 in verse 13. The ministry is also valuable because it is involved with faith. Well, notice verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Why is the ministry important? Why is it valuable? It is when we really believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, people that don't stick to the ministry or get up and down and are inconsistent in their lives with the Lord, many times it's because they don't truly necessarily believe. You fully believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we believe in something as God's people that makes the ministry worth it all. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only answer for mankind's sin. We believe that by faith in Christ, we can be delivered from our sin. We believe that so strongly that that's the only message that we want to give. And that message, if we believe it strong enough, will dominate our thinking, will affect everything we do throughout our life. You know that hymn that says, we know whom we have believed. We know through God's Word. We believe that same God in verse 14 that raised up Jesus. Look at this, verse 14. What else do we believe and know? That He which raised up the Lord is going to raise us up also. And we're going to be present with Him. Boy, that's wonderful to believe in, isn't it? Here's all the perplexities and all the troubles in the ministry, and we're trying to witness to people. We're trying to get the truth out, and we keep hitting these brick walls, and people are rejecting us, and it seems like the world is getting worse and worse. And it is. But we have a Savior that we believe in. And He's victorious, and that same God that raised up Christ is going to raise us up to be with Christ. Now that's a great hope that we should live for. It makes all the difference in what we do. What we believe makes the difference in what we do. If we truly believe, for example, that our students need the Lord Jesus Christ, and that, you know, the little boys and girls that are born aren't born good, like the progressives like to teach, they're not born well and we're just going to let them develop on their own. If you believe that they're a sinner just like you and me, then that'll affect your mindset in the classroom. You'll want to witness to them and get the gospel to them. It'll be important. If we believe that we're nothing outside of Christ, then we're going to have humility. If we believe that God's Word is authoritative, then our lives are going to be different. What I'm trying to say is what we believe makes the difference in our lives and what we do. And this faith, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that we're going to be with Christ and raised up, that makes the ministry valuable. We've got something that we believe in and we want to tell others. We've got something we believe in so strongly that it's changed our lives. And we want others also to know of this great belief that they can have as well. Just a couple more here in verse number 15, number 6. The ministry is valuable also, verse 15, because it is for God's glory. It's for God's glory. Verse 15, for all things are for your sakes. He says He's doing this ministry. He's, you know, going through these troubles for the sake of the people that He's ministering to. But why? Beyond that, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. What's Paul saying? The more people that come to Christ, the more glory our Savior and our Lord gets and receives. So the thanksgiving of many redounds to the glory of God. The ministry has the goal of God's glory. Paul gave his life in the ministry for the people of the church, but he wanted more lips, so to speak, to give thanksgiving to the Lord. The lives of those people, what they lived, what they said, the thanksgiving of God, it is for the glory of God. Then finally tonight, number 7 in verse 18, the ministry is worth it because it's for eternity. Serving the Lord is worth it because it is for eternity. We are not looking at the things that are seen. Every time we do that, we get sidetracked. We're looking at the things which are not seen. And that's why, I believe, that's part of the reason why there's troubles, perplexities, persecutions from those that don't know the Lord, because they don't understand this unseen world. They don't understand that. They have maybe the empirical mindset or the natural mindset where reality is everything to them. So that means persecutions, and you'll look like the oddball, you'll look like the weird one, and you know, you don't believe evolution like everybody else, and you're made out to be the moron of society. They are looking at the things that are seen. We are to look at that which is not seen. Why? Because the things that are seen are temporal. They're going to go. They're going to be gone in the blink of an eye when the Lord comes. And many times, even in our own life, things are gone in the blink of an eye. You know, I lost the keys to my truck. They were gone in the blink of an eye. I don't know where they are. I think Jesse ran off with them, and they're probably in the yard somewhere. Who knows? But things that we have, they're temporal. They're gone in a heartbeat, and we can't do anything about it. Things that we see quickly can deteriorate. There's laws of thermodynamics and all these things in science that things are decaying and things are running down, and there's entropy and all these things. We're not putting our stock in those temporal things, and we shouldn't be. We are to focus on the things that are not seen, which are eternal. I want to close with one more verse. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I refer to it quite often, so forgive my monotony. It's in 1 Thessalonians, and it's in chapter 2. And I've referred to this many times. Again, it's the things that are not seen. That should be the focus. Chapter 2, at the very end, verse 19. You know this verse. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown, or rejoicing? Oh, the world would love to answer that question. Well, your hope, crown, joy, and rejoicing are all these things. Material things or temporal things and all these numbers and all these successes and all this money and just everything that you can see. That's what the world would answer that question with. What does Paul answer it with? What is his joy? What is his crown? What is his rejoicing? It is that you are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at His coming. Boy, that should be the mindset of every one of us as we serve the Lord, as we witness to people, as we teach in the classroom, as we're here on campus with many people from the community, that we want others to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, that's something that you can't necessarily see on earth. You can't see that. And Paul's saying, oh, there's a crown that's coming. It's a joy. It's a rejoicing, and it's not seen. So the world doesn't understand that. Verse 20, for ye are our glory and joy. Boy, what great thanksgiving will abound to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven as more come to know Him. We look forward to that heavenly throng we read about in Revelation, singing, worthy is the Lamb. When we focus on the temporal, we begin to faint. And Paul says we faint not. We're not to faint. The ministry is valuable. It's got purpose. It's worth, our world would say, the cost or the sacrifice, so all these other words. I don't really like to use those words. It's worth serving the Lord. It's not a cost or a sacrifice. It's what the Lord has called us to do. And when we see the struggles and troubles and they lead us maybe to distress, the perplexities that can lead to despair, the persecution that can lead to us thinking that God has forsaken us, well, in those situations, we're focusing on ourselves and we're beginning to faint. But let's take courage. Let's continue in the ministry that God's called us to do, whether it's full-time or whether you have a ministry everywhere you are every day, to reach people for Christ, to have those that are the crown, the rejoicing, to be in the presence of the Lord. May we be faithful for those things that are eternal. Father, I thank You for this passage tonight, for this good chapter in 2 Corinthians. And Lord, as we go about the busy lives that we have, the busy schedules, the busy ministry many times, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't forget about the value, the worth of what we're doing. It's easy to do that. It's easy to get in the rut to just forget to think about what we're doing. And Lord, continue to convict all of our hearts. We need to be focused on the eternal things, to not faint, in the face of adversity and difficulties, but to continue to give out the truth and to focus on our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His name that we ask these things. Amen.